chapter 14 of the Gospel of John, beginning in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, in the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for the messages that our pastor have brought these last few weeks on heaven. And we look forward today to hearing more about this great place that one day we shall go to. God, for that to be accomplished and be beneficial in our lives in this room today, we need you to speak to our hearts through thy Holy Spirit. So, Father, we ask this morning that you would fill our pastor with thy Holy Spirit so that he could open up the Word of God to us, that we'd be quick to hear and ready to obey what the Scriptures have to say. Father, if there be someone in this room that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, the way, I pray before they leave this room, they would settle that this morning. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, I'm going to ask now that you sit still and listen very carefully, please. Ushers, help me. If someone goes out during the message, we understand sometimes people have to, health-wise, other reasons, but be sure they sit in the back and listen carefully, would you? Help me there. I'm going to ask you to turn your cell phone to off or to vibrate. Check it now. Make sure it's there. Now, there's what happens. If your cell phone goes off during the service, you'll be called for jury duty every month for the rest of your life. So please, which is a great service in the community, but not every month for the rest of your life. So help us there, please. Started preaching on heaven a few weeks ago. Didn't realize that last Sunday as I preached on heaven, that one of our families, the Usry family, their 38-year-old son in very good health would lay down on Friday night and go to heaven. They're on their way to Florida to help a wife and a couple little ones put their life together after their son died. You understand, dear people, heaven is not just a place of comfort and encouragement. We've talked to you about heaven, why there's a heaven. We talked about that last week. By the way, the resolution of all the issues of this life is one of the reasons there's a heaven. Everything's resolved in heaven. It's all done. It's all taken care of. I was thinking about a few years ago when I went to the funeral home to pick up the body of our granddaughter. One of our men made her a little coffin, about like that. And I'd been to that funeral home and done many a funeral service there. But I went there that day and met the funeral director, and he handed me that little white wooden box that her body would be in. Now, she's not in that box. She's in heaven with the Lord. Carried it out to the car and put it in the back of the car and drove to the cemetery. Set up the table and got things ready for us to have a little graveside service for our family. And I thought to myself, you know, this is not the way it's supposed to be, is it? Well, when we get to heaven, ladies and gentlemen, all those issues are resolved. You understand that? That's why there's a heaven. There's a lot of other reasons why, but that's why there's a heaven. We talked about the fact that there's a heaven, the heaven that is now and the heaven that will be. Revelation 21 says, the first heaven and the first earth were passed away and there was no more sea. The heaven where people go now, where our grandchildren are now that have passed away, and your loved ones that knew the Lord are there now. It's a paradise of God. It's a beautiful place. The heaven that we know of, most familiar with, gates of pearl and streets of gold and walls of jasper, that's the heaven that will be. This morning, what we read in John 14, that's what Jesus has been working on now for almost 2,000 years. When he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If For were not so, I would have told you, I go there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am there, you may be also. That's the new heaven. That's the city four square. And maybe next week or so, the Lord will allow us to take a tour of this city and understand why God made it the way He made it. And its dimensions, it's an incredible place, ladies and gentlemen. But the whole point of these messages on heaven is not only to provide comfort for those who have had loved ones that have gone on, but give us hope for knowing that this is not all there is. This is not all that there is. Today I want to talk to you about something Jesus told us and taught us about in John 14, verse number 4, please. He said after he told them, in my Father's house are many mansions, if it were not so, I would have told you. When he gets to verse 4, he said this simple statement, and whither I go, you know. He said, where I'm going, he says, you know what that is. Where I'm going, whither I go, you know, and the way you know. I want to talk to you this morning very simply on the subject, what we know about heaven. See, the disciples had been taught a bit about heaven while they walked with Jesus, and he's reminding them. See, in John 13, he told them he was going to go away, and they were troubled by that. That's why verse 1 says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. But he just reminded him. He said, now look, there's some things you know about heaven. And where I'm going, you know that. And the way to heaven, you know that too. And he was just trying to assure them of some things. And ladies and gentlemen, there's some things we do know about heaven this morning. First of all, we know this. Heaven is a literal geographical location. Heaven is not some ethereal existence where you leave this life and you float around on clouds with long blonde hair playing harps and sprinkles poofa dust on people. It's a real place. I mean, there is a literal real place called heaven. We know this, not only, then the Bible calls in Isaiah, it says in the sides of the north. Geographically, it's north from where we are. Now, let's be clear. It's not on this earth. We know that. For all you people who think, well, heaven's right here on earth and this is where I'm going to stay. You can stay. I'm going where he said we're going. That's where I want to go. I don't want to stay here. I want to go there. And that's what verse 3 says. Look at it again. Very carefully. Just read it now. It says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there, not here, there you may be also. Not someplace else on this earth, there, he said, where his Father's house was. His Father is God the Father. That's heaven. There. He's gone there to prepare a place there. But know this. Now listen, we need to get this picture. Heaven is a real place. It is a place, an actual location. It's not in a dimension of which we are not familiar. You've been watching too many sci-fi programs, okay? Heaven is a real place. I can tell you this. I know heaven is just the other side of your next heartbeat. That's how close it is. It's right there. This dear family in our church whose 38-year-old healthy son laid down and drew his last breath in this life, the next breath he drew was in heaven. You understand, if your heart stops this instant, the next beat is in heaven. That's where heaven is, just the other side of a heartbeat, just the other side of your next breath. It's that close and it's that real. You close your eyes here, you open your eyes there. Because Jesus said that's where it is. It's there, not here. He promised that to us. It's an actual place. And that also means this, dear people, based on the Word of God, based on what Jesus said, based on His promises, here's what we know about heaven. It's real. It's not something you make up in your little mind. Well, here's what heaven is to me, Pastor Johnson. You know what? That's all well, fine, and good. But why do we waste our times on this kind of stuff? Why do we even waste our thoughts on conjectures of what somebody thinks? I'll tell you what I think. Heaven is to me this and that. Fine and good. So you've got an active imagination and you probably don't have enough medication to control it. But the truth of the matter is, I don't care what you think. It's all right. You have your opinion and you can go ahead and dwell in the world of imagination if you want to. But we don't have to, because the Bible told us, Jesus said there was his Father's house. He was going there. He was going to prepare us a place and then he's going to come back and take us to that place. So where he was, that's where we would be. It's a real place, folks. It's real. We got to get a grasp on that in our minds and our thoughts. I've been to places in this world and I thought, you know, I'm here. I'm actually standing in a place I've always wanted to see. And oftentimes it's kind of a it's kind of a disappointment. Sometimes it exceeds what I thought it was. It was in Paris, stood underneath the Eiffel Tower. I couldn't believe the massive structure of this thing. I thought Eiffel Tower, all the ones I've ever seen were about that big, right? But couldn't believe how massive the thing was. I mean, absolutely, incredibly huge. And stood underneath this thing and looked up inside the guts of this thing, as it were, and walked through it and out to the outside of it and stood there and looked at that. Well, no wonder it's such a prominent landmark in Paris, because it's so massive. It was more than I expected it to be. Then I've been other places before and saw it, and I thought, no big deal. I thought it would be better than that. Now, we won't go into those places because I don't want to disappoint anybody. But the truth of the matter is, better than you could possibly imagine is what heaven is like. And rather than try to figure out the exact size and dimensions, in the new heaven we have that, but rather than waste our time on that, let's get this picture. We know heaven is a real place. We know heaven is a geographical location. We know that. People go there. We know that there are, listen, we know this about heaven. We know that there are occupants in heaven. People are there. Jesus said, I go there to prepare a place for you. Now, here's how you can look at that. You can either look at heaven as it's a place where there are a lot of people, or you can look at it like this. Heaven is a place prepared for you. I don't see a lot of plural language here. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now, I understand it could be a plural understanding of that. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And they use the plural in the Old English. I understand that. But get this picture. See, when I think of heaven, I don't just think of heaven as some crowded street. I've been to New York City. Big mistake. I've been to New York City a couple of times. Walked down the street in New York City. Frankly, there's something about it that's kind of nice. I don't mind big cities to visit. I wouldn't want to live there. But I've been there and during times where it was what they call rush hour. Now, I don't want to call it rush hour. Nobody's in a hurry to get anywhere, and you're not getting anywhere in a hurry. But there's bozillion people. I mean, you look down to the streets, and there is just a mass of humanity, just a wave of people down to the streets. That's not what I think of when I think of heaven. That wouldn't be heaven. I don't think of heaven as a place where you drive around and you pick out where you want to live and you stay there. That's not what it is either. Listen now, heaven is a place that has occupants. People go there. But more importantly than that, he had you in mind when he built heaven. You mean he was thinking about building something for people? No, he was thinking about building something for you. I go there to prepare a place for you, he said. And if I go, you ever look at some houses and think, what were they thinking? I hope one of my neighbors is not in here today. Some of my neighbors are in here today. I've got a neighbor that redid their house, and I don't know what their color scheme was, but somebody never made it out of the 60s. I can tell you that right now. I mean, I like wild colors, but this one is maybe a little bit over the top. And I've got to die. I'm now going to knock on the door one of these days and try to witness to them. And then I'm going to say, what were you thinking when you put the... Okay, you ever drive by a house and go, what in the world is that? Or why did they do that? Or you see some of these structures that places, and when there's movie star people put their house up for sale for $42 million. I'm not interested. I don't know about you, but that's not quite in my price range. But I've seen some incredible structures before in my life. I've seen some I thought, boy, that guy could have worked on that just a tad harder than that. See, I have my own mind about what's comfortable living for me. Do you understand when he built heaven, he thought about you and he built a place for you? I go there to prepare a place for you, he said. There's something he has built in heaven that's for you. Knowing you, knowing what, I don't know if it's because based on what you want or not want or whatever. I don't know. I can just tell you this. And I'm not saying today, you know, you can have your own designer home and you pick it all out and it's like one big eternity of HGTV. All I'm saying is this. He literally designed something in heaven with you in mind. Personalized this thing about heaven. There are occupants in heaven. And God has made, Jesus is there preparing now a mansion, a place in heaven for you. And did you know this? That heaven, the new heaven, the one that's 1,500 miles high and 1,500 miles wide and 1,500 miles deep, do you realize, and it's all structures there, do you realize it's big enough to hold all of humanity born from the first to the last and any more that could ever be born before Christ comes back to get us? Do you realize that he not only designed heaven with you in mind, he had designed heaven with enough space for every living soul that would ever be born could have a place in heaven? I said, could have a place in heaven. You're not going to get heaven and have to find a real estate agent to find accommodations. Oh, is he here? We didn't know that. No. He has a place prepared in heaven for you. Our folks now that have gone across to the other side, they're in the paradise of God. I don't know what kind of dwelling places they have. I don't know what they live in. I'm not sure of that. It isn't important and it isn't necessary because the first heaven is not permanent. It's temporary. And that place will change one day. But the place Jesus is talking about here, he's designed it in mind. I've been to some houses before and I thought, well, that's an interesting concept. When I was in high school, I had a buddy. I lived in Newport Beach, Costa Mesa area. His parents lived up on the bluffs. I can't remember the name of the bluffs now. But they're big houses. You walk into the foyer of the house. It was huge. He goes, watch this. And we stepped side of the door and he pushed a button and the door slid back. And there was a little small swimming pool sauna in the foyer of the house. And I thought, boy, if somebody pushes the wrong button, you come in late at night, you're in big trouble here, pal. But I thought, well, now that's kind of interesting. That's unique. See, Pastor Johnson, you looking forward to seeing your mansion? Not really. See, it's not my design, it's his. Look here. And since he's designed me a really good life here, I figure he'll take care of whatever's up there that I need to live in. It'll be all right. So I'm not all the gold streets and the pearl gates. Those are interesting, but frankly, I'm not really that fascinated with the concept because, see, he's designed that. He designed a life for Mike Johnson. He's designed me a place to go to. Is that okay with you? Because if it's all right here, you know it'll be okay there. Yes? They're occupants in heaven. People go there. Yes, it's true. Our loved ones are there. They're on that side and they're awaiting us. It's being prepared. Listen, heaven has streets. It has houses. It's real. Heaven has occupants in it. There is room for everyone, though not everyone's going. But it won't be because God didn't make a space for you. You know what we know about heaven? We know what isn't in heaven. There are some things. I heard an old black preacher preach years ago, and his sermon was, you ought to go to heaven just for the ain'ts. Just for the ain'ts. What ain't in heaven? And then he got loose on that, and it was good stuff. Yeah. Yeah, there is no sin. In the new heaven, that place God is preparing, Jesus is preparing for us now, that place will never know a moment of failure, defeat, sadness, sorrow, or sickness, ever. We know what's not in heaven, dear people. We know it's not like this life all over again. We don't go to heaven and start over with the same attitude, ideas, and mistakes. You ever hear people say, boy, I'll tell you what, if I could relive that period of my life, I wouldn't make the same mistakes. You're absolutely right. You just make new ones. True? No, heaven isn't a redo on this life. Heaven is, Jesus said in John chapter 21, he said, behold, I make all things new. He's going to make it new. You get the picture? Now listen, so what happens in heaven is this, these occupants in heaven, this place that's called heaven, there's no sin there. There's no loss. There's no failure. Do you know what is they're not in heaven? There are no words spoken in heaven. Certain words are not spoken in heaven. No one's going to walk up to you in heaven and say, I'm sorry. Because you're not going to remember what they did. Did you know there's no prayer in heaven? Because there's no need. Well, we'll worship and talk to God. That's worship. That's not prayer. Prayer is asking. You don't need to ask for anything in heaven. There's no prayer. Did you know there's no presence of God in heaven? You say, Pastor, you mean God's not there? Oh, yeah. But God's there, not his presence. You see him. Now you think, you just dwell on that for a moment now. Listen to me. You see him. Now we can sense the presence of God. while the folks were singing this morning and we sang the hymns and things like that. If you appreciate godly and good music, you sense the presence of God this morning. If you, you know, come from the sloppy, gobby rock and roll, let it all hang out, baby, BB spitting thing, that probably was not quite to your level, but that's all right. You can come up to where you need to be. We can help you with that. But it helped, you didn't feel something. I'll tell you what you should have felt. You should have felt the presence of the Holy God of heaven, because He loves good music. He invented it. He created it. You know, you could sense the presence of God. I sensed His presence this morning when I woke up. I got out of bed and I got up this morning and I got my day going. I sensed His presence today. And I called on His name and I talked to Him and I sensed His presence today. There's none of that in heaven. You get to see His person in heaven. No presence there. The person is there. You see Jesus. I wonder how that works. I'm curious about that one part. A lot of parts, but that one. How does that work? The Son of God, Jesus Christ, in heaven. How is it we're going to get to see and talk to Him personally? I don't know how that works. God has that worked out somehow. But I know this. I don't care if it takes 10,000 years because you've got all the time in the world. I just know I want to sit down and talk to Him for a minute. And I'd just like to say thank you. I hope in a glorified body we'll have better words to speak and a better way to say it. But I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. There isn't any need for distance between you and God, because there is none. You don't have to pray. You don't have to ask for anything. Everything is taken care of. There are a lot of ain'ts in heaven that are good. No prayer. No forgiveness. You mean I don't have to ask for forgiveness in heaven? No, it's all done. You're in heaven because you're forgiven. And no one walks up to you and says, boy, I know what you did. Nobody does that. We know what isn't in heaven. Nothing that's not important to us for the rest of our lives forever. It's all there. Now, some of you are thinking about something material right now popped into your mind. Boy, I hope I get those shoes. I hope I get to take that car with me in heaven. No cars. No cars. No cell phones in heaven. You're not going to hear some rude jerk standing on the street corner of glory shouting at the top of his lungs into a cell phone. I almost told a guy at the hospital the other day, why don't you just hang it up, pal? They can hear you. Wherever they are, I don't care if they're in Idaho, they can hear you. Trust me. And so when they tell me that he's going into surgery at 4 o'clock, and I thought, why is he even talking into the phone? None of that in heaven. Nothing irritating, aggravating. Nothing, no lies, no Satan, no sin. None of that stuff. It's all done. It's resolved. It's all set aside and taken care of. You know, we know about heaven. Listen now, Jesus said in verse number 4, and the way ye know. We know the way to heaven. First of all, we know it isn't how we live our life. Now, that's what a lot of people believe. A lot of folks believe, well, if you live a good life and you do good, when you die, God takes the good ones to heaven and the bad ones go to hell. Bad news. Here's the truth. All people are sinners, so everyone's going to hell when they die. Unless they take the way to heaven. Notice what Jesus said in verse 4. Whether I go, you know, and the way. Didn't say a way. He said the way. So all you multicultural, politically correct people out there, get a grasp on this for a moment. Nobody's going to heaven because they're religious or irreligious. No one's going to heaven. God's not going to let someone go to heaven because they're a Buddhist and didn't hear about Christ. No. God is not going to let someone go to heaven who grew up in America, never had a soul-winning church try to reach them for Christ either. They'll still go to hell because there's the way to heaven. Verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. Notice the particulars of that. Not a way, not a truth, and not a life. He's the way, He's the truth, He's the life. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen, honestly, if we're honest with ourselves, we know the way to heaven is not because of how I live, because we already know it ain't good enough. And if we're honest, that's how we see it. See, here's the problem. Listen now. We understand if you've still got any good principles left in you, you understand ain't no free lunch. Everything comes by work. You work for everything you get. Now, we've created a whole society in our nation today who believe that everything they get, someone should give it to you. That's hogwash. That's garbage, and it's ruining our country. I was raised by my grandparents. They taught me that work was not a dirty four-letter word. It's a good thing. And you want something, you go get it. You work for it, and you get it. Nothing wrong with that. Good principle. Now, wait a minute. But if you've got that principle in your mind and understanding, then it can be kind of hard to understand that heaven is not by works. Something as important as heaven, forgiveness, eternal life. Listen, something as important as that, I don't have to do anything to get that. You're absolutely right. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy hath He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Titus 3, 5 and 6. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God's grace provides us God's gift, and God's gift isn't you, it's Jesus. And He provided that gift by His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And friend, but your common sense and honesty tells you, you can't get there by how you live, because you know you have not lived well enough to go to heaven. And by the way, where's the logic in that? So if God lets you into heaven because you did well, and then you stand next to someone who did even better than you, how's that fair to them? It's not fair. Someone dedicates their life to live for God, serve God, do what God wants them to do, and you're casual Sunday morning, pop in, pop out type Christian, and you just go on about your life, and that's the way you live your life, and you stand next to this dedicated servant who poured out their life's blood and gave their kids and their life to the work of the ministry, and you get to go to heaven because you were just okay, and they were really good. There's no justice in that. It's not fair, and you know it's not fair. We're crying out about all the injustices of mankind today. The greatest injustice is someone who thinks they can get to heaven because they're good. You're not being honest, and you're not being fair. So we already know my life is not going to work. I don't care how many times you get baptized. I take you over here to the Sacramento River and baptize you, you remember a fish by his first name, and you're not going to heaven. It's not going to work. Joining this church won't save you, nor in your church won't either. Salvation is not in a religion. It's in a person. The person is Christ. That's why Jesus said, I am the way. So we already know the way. We know it ain't us. We know it's Him. It's Jesus Christ. Now, not just believing that He lived and died, trusting that He died for you and paid for your sins. See, heaven's wonderful if you make it personal and you realize He is preparing a place for me. Then it becomes more personal. Sometimes I'll go and preach at a church somewhere, and they're one of the kind of churches, we're like that too, to our guests, where they do nice things for you. They have a motel room, they'll put a fruit basket in there and some things like that. It's very nice. It's very personal. That makes it more personal to you. Heaven is for you. But there's only one way there. That's through what Jesus did for you on the cross. If you trust His payment and nothing else, and His resurrection and nothing else, you can have salvation and eternal life and a home in heaven for you. And then you're going the way Jesus said you can get there. So you don't have to wonder when you die, you go to heaven, He does the good, bad thing, and if you're okay, it works out all right. Look at me. No, it doesn't work like that. You get to heaven because you trust Christ as your Savior. You don't go. We know the way to heaven. Jesus told us plainly, that's the way it is. You know what we know about heaven? You know what? There's a lot that we know. Question. Are you going and you sure? Positive. No doubt, no question in your mind. The only way you can know is if you're trusting Christ as your way to heaven. What He's already done has been done for you. What you hope for has already been taken care of. See, that's a guarantee, not what you can do. You know what we know about heaven? If you know you're going to heaven and you're sure of that, question. Doesn't that affect how we live our lives here? Excuse me. Then we can't get all material-minded and hung up on this earth. Somebody said it right, and they said it right several years back. Don't get too concerned about this life. You're not going to get out of it alive anyway. People just holding on to this life and everything about it. So much so. That's why people live for TV programs. I always think, man, get a life. You've got to be kidding me. That's your whole life is what's on television? There's something a little bigger than that. Like a whole lot bigger than that. I always thought Biggest Loser program was about people who based their lives on philosophies that didn't work out. Instead of a bunch of fat people in spandex, and I don't watch the show. But the truth is, How else could it possibly be? I'm sorry. How else could it possibly be? How could people get infatuated with foolishness? That's insanity. No, I tell you what it is. Look at me. See, on the other side of this breath, right here, this next breath, there is heaven over there. This heartbeat, one more beat, and I could be in heaven. So could you. So that makes a difference in how I live my life. I'm thankful for what I have. I'm enjoying the life God has given me. It's all well, fine, and good. And when it's over and said and done, you go to heaven if you're a child of God. You know what we call that? That's a win-win proposition. As tough as this life can be, it'll only be as tough as this life. That's it. The hard times are just here. That's all. They're not all hard times. They'll pass. And then when it's over and said and done, you step into a place you could not even design. No concept of human mind could grasp it. And it's there for you, child of God. I think that what that ought to do is just maybe lift our spirits just a tad. A little beyond the fact that if the government doesn't vote something in, the whole country's going to come to a screaming halt. Maybe we just throw them all. Never mind. But the point is, if I don't get home today, I will get home today. Tuesday, I teach down at the college in the Bay Area. Now, 500-mile drive on Tuesday, down and back. If somewhere down that road, and I've wrecked before driving down that road, if something happens tonight, Tuesday, I don't come back home. Tuesday, I'll be home. That's what we know about heaven. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning. Heads bowed, eyes closed.